thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I want to continue this evening looking at encounters with Jesus. And we're going to read in a wee minute or two from Luke chapter 7. But before we turn to the actual scripture reading, I want to read you a story. And it was in yesterday's BBC Northern Ireland news page. The story is raw. It's shocking, but it's very, very real. And one that sadly I have seen mothers and fathers having to deal with. And it is a very raw story. I'm just going to read it to you, how it was written on the news page. In a drawer in her bedroom, a Belfast mother has her son's funeral plan tucked away. He's addicted to prescription drugs, and she feels that it's only a matter of time before they claim his life. It's not even a question of when the time comes, it's going to come, she says. Louise's son smoked cannabis for the first time when he was 13, and since then he has become addicted to prescription drugs. To pay for them, he borrowed and then stole from his family. He broke into houses and even acted as a courier for the dealers. It wrecks the whole family, said Louise. My older children are concerned about me and the effect it has on me, and it causes arguments. And then you have the stigma. People think it's a parent's fault. They don't know what they're talking about until they live it. They don't know the nights that me and the mums that go through it, the hours that we have walked the streets looking for them. One of her lowest points came when her son stood in front of his younger sister, cutting himself with a knife. He told them he wanted to die, that he hated his life. He was covered in blood where he cut himself, she said. That's something that always sticks in my mind. He was so angry, and he was coming down from all these drugs. He had wrecked the house, put the windows in, and then suddenly he collapsed and went, "Mummy, please help me." Louise has prepared for her son's death in the most practical of ways, with the details all written down. I know that whenever it does come, that I won't be in any state to think of all the things that he would like and I would like for him, so I have it there ready. She's told her son of the plans. Sometimes he agrees that he needs help. At other times, he insists. It will never happen to him. When I read this story, and I read it this morning, when I read this story, I didn't just switch off and think, well, there's another sad, tragic story. But my heart went out to this woman, this mother called Louise. I don't know her, but I have known mothers just like her. And I've prayed for her and her son today that somehow, they live in Belfast. They live in one of the most evangelized countries on the earth. I pray that somehow God will bring her and her son to an encounter with Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who is able to bring people back even from the very brink of death. Maybe this story struck a particular chord in my heart as I read it this morning because of what I'm preaching on this evening. Because the story we're going to read this evening also tells of a mother whose heart is broken, a mother whose heart is crushed with grief because she has just lost her son, her only son, a widow woman. This woman that we're going to read about, she hasn't got the funeral plan in the bedroom drawer tucked away. This woman is literally walking in her son's funeral procession. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7, 11 to 17. Luke 7, 11 to 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large town from the crowd was with her. Listen to this verse. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," he said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is a short, but I think a very beautiful story. This story shows the true heart of Jesus for the broken and for the lost. Now, as you know, the gospel writers, when they put the stories together, they don't do it in a haphazard way. They're not just writing down the stories as they remember them. When they group the stories together, they're doing it purposely, purposefully, and they're wanting to tell us something. They leave some details out, they put some in. They put them in different orders. Only Luke records this particular story. But it's interesting how he includes it just after the healing of the Roman centurion's servant. Jesus had been up in Capernaum, which was like his second home, his adopted home. And this Roman centurion had a highly esteemed servant who fell ill. And the Roman centurion went to some Jewish elders and said, "Will you go to Jesus? And will you tell him about my servant? And will you ask him to speak the word that my servant would be healed?" You know, when the elders came to Jesus and told him this, Jesus was amazed. Because here was a Roman, a Gentile, who recognized that Jesus was somebody under authority and somebody with authority. That this Roman recognized that Jesus could just speak the word from a distance and it would be done. Jesus did speak the word, and the servant was healed, and the Roman centurion's faith was highly commended. So this was somebody who sent to Jesus. And then Luke tells us this story. He said a short time after this, Jesus and his disciples went to a town called Nain. That's 20 miles south, very near the border with Samaria. Now, you can imagine Jesus and disciples walking. You know, some of us are dead if we walk like 1 mile. This is 20 miles. I don't know if they did it in a day. They were used to walking everywhere. And everywhere Jesus walked, from all the wee villages, people would gather round. Crowds would follow, hearing his teaching, wanting him to heal. But suddenly, as Luke tells the story, they've just come up to the town gate of Nain. And Luke has told us about the disciples, he's told us about the crowd, but suddenly Luke pans away from the disciples, away from the crowd, and he focuses in on the town gate and the funeral procession that is at that very moment just coming out of the town gate. Somebody has died and the body has been taken out to be buried outside the town. It was a young man. The only son of his mother. His mother was a widow. Now, of course, at the time, the disciples didn't know that. The crowds didn't know that. They would just have seen this large, and it was a large funeral procession. They probably had to stand to the side to let them through. But when Jesus saw the funeral procession, he knew exactly who it was. I am pretty sure Jesus timed his arrival at precisely the moment that funeral was coming out of the town gates so that he could intervene. And in that moment, You have two large groups of people facing each other. A lot of people. But Jesus' attention narrowed right down to one single person, the mother. Over and over again, you see, when we're talking about Jesus and stories about Jesus, Jesus' ability to see beyond the crowd, to see through the crowd, and to focus right in on one individual. I want you to understand that this evening. I mean, we're hardly a big crowd gathered here, but you're sitting here in the midst of other people. But I want to tell you tonight, there are other people around, but Jesus is focusing right in on you. Jesus is speaking right into your heart. And see what Luke says. When Jesus saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, "Don't cry." I love that statement. His heart went out to her. The tenderness, the beautiful tenderness of Jesus. Jesus did many amazing acts of healing, you know. Jesus did many miracles. Jesus raised people from the dead. Many of Jesus' miracles were signs. They were signs of his authority. They were signs of his divinity. They were signs of the kingdom of God invading earth. But at the core of every single one of Jesus' miracles, there was a heart that was moved with love and compassion for those who were broken. Jesus' heart constantly went out to people. Jesus was used to seeing funerals. I mean, funerals then were a lot different from the kind of funerals we have. Funerals here in Northern Ireland, apart from the fact they're very fast, we'd be used to, in Scotland, you know, a fortnight before a funeral happens. You come here and it's like 2 days later. But here it's very dignified. People try not to cry. I've never really understood that, why you try not to cry at a funeral, because the most natural thing in the world to do. But in the Middle Eastern day, in Jesus' day, not only would the family have been crying, they paid professional mourners to make a great noise and show of crying loudly, playing very doleful, sad music. But Jesus knew real tears of sorrow and loss when he saw them. The professional mourners would go home. They would just get on with their normal lives, and then tomorrow they would go out and be paid to cry loudly again. But this woman, this mother, widow lady, she would go home and she would wonder, is my life ever going to be normal again? She would go home and cry real tears of deep sorrow and grief over the son she'd lost. Grief and loss, a very lonely experience. A crowd can surround you and you can feel lonely in your grief. Jesus saw it all and his heart went out to her. You might feel lonely in your grief, but you are never alone. Jesus' heart goes out to you. He is with you. He's beside you. He sees every tear that falls and he has compassion on you. I was wondering, I was thinking about this story. I wonder when Jesus saw this woman and the loss of her son, did he see in the future his own mother? Did he see Mary? Did he see Mary standing at the cross watching him die? He knew a mother's love. They always say there's no love like a mother's love. A mother's love so deep, constantly caring, showing sacrifice, a mother's love. And seeing this mother's grief moved him. He was her life. He was her future. He would have been responsible to provide financially in every way for her. Now she was looking forward into a bleak and uncertain future. She didn't ask Jesus to intervene. She didn't plead for Jesus' grace and mercy. But you know, Jesus saw her. His heart went out. And Jesus went up and he just touched the coffin where the young man was. The people that were carrying it just stood still, probably wondering what was happening. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. What a line. Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now that is a literal, historical story. I want to spiritualize it, if you like, this evening. I want to speak to mothers and fathers who have lost their sons or their daughters in a spiritual sense. You may be facing something similar to this woman that we read about, Louise in Belfast. You've maybe lost a son or a daughter to drugs, to alcohol, to gambling, or some other thing. You may already feel as if you are walking in their funeral procession, carrying your child to the open grave. Or maybe your child's lost to something entirely different. Maybe lost to ambition. Maybe lost to the pursuit of earthly pleasure. Maybe lost to apathy. But lost to Christ at this moment. You know, most of us see, and this is a problem, most of us see some kinds of lostness as more serious than other kinds of lostness. Some of us see lostness to drugs or alcoholism or gambling is worse than lostness to apathy and ambition and just being involved in the world. The Bible doesn't see it like that. Because the Bible says if we're lost to Christ, the end result is exactly the same. What differs is the pain and the worry on a day-to-day basis. But I speak to every parent in this room and every grandparent, an aunt and uncle. Do we not all have family members that we love who are lost at this moment to Christ? We want our families to do well academically. We want to see them in decent jobs. Every one of us want to see them happily married if that's what's right for them. We want them to be happy in life. We want them to have good health in life. But can I urge you, let that not be all that you want for your family. Those things are great and they're perfect in the right place. But friends, the absolutely most important thing for your family is that they are found in Christ. Everything else is absolutely secondary to that. Make it your constant prayer that they will encounter Jesus. Because if they don't, they are walking towards an open grave with no hope for the future. Let's pray for them with tears of intercession that they would meet Jesus. But what a picture this is. Jesus stops this funeral procession. He stops and he touches the coffin. He touches the thing that is, if you like, trapping this boy, trapping this son. He stops and he sets him free. Jesus is able. When I told Graham earlier in the week that this is what he's preaching on, he said that years ago, when he worked at Teen Challenge in a drug rehab, they were at some meeting and Graham was actually preaching on this passage. And one of the students at the Teen Challenge rehab got up to give a testimony in the meeting. And those were the very words he said, you know, about how he had been so trapped and just ensnared in the whole world of drugs. And Jesus had come and he'd set him free and he had saved him. And he said, "I was dead and he brought me back to life and he gave me back to my mother." What a picture. Oh, Jesus is speaking this evening to us all. And he's telling us, he's saying to us, I see your heart. My heart goes out to you. I see the tears you cry for your family. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. He speaks the words of life into the dead. Jesus intervened here. I just think that's amazing. Nobody asked him to. He just did it. You know, maybe somebody that you're praying for, you just think, oh, I want them to come to church, or I want them to cry out to the Lord. I want them to do this. Do you know something? Sometimes Jesus just intervenes in people's lives and they're not even asking him to. They're not even looking for him, and he just steps in and sets them free. People spoke the truth. They said, God has come to help his people. Isn't that true? God has come to help his people. God has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And by his death on the cross, he has broken the power of everything that traps and ensnares people. He has broken the power of the enemy even to blind people. I pray this evening, as you pray, that he would speak into the lives of our loved ones and raise them from the dead, that they would pass over from death to life to serve the living God. Let's pray. You know in your own heart who at this moment you're thinking about, somebody who is lost in Christ, lost to Christ. Pray for them. Ask Jesus to touch them. He sees your heart. He sees the tears you've cried. His heart goes out to you. And he says, don't cry. He's going to restore them. Take that as a word of hope and encouragement. He is going to restore them. Father, we lift our voices and our hearts to you this night. And I thank you that you care for the broken and the lost. I thank you that you care for those who are grieving and sorrowful. I thank you, Lord, that your heart goes out to those who feel there is no hope, who've almost given up, and you just embrace them with your love. And I pray, Lord, for this mother in Belfast, Louise. None of us here knows her, but we pray for her tonight, Lord, and we pray for her son. We pray that they would both encounter you. And countless others like her, Lord, all over this country and this town here too. Oh, Lord. We need you, Lord. Thank you for those words, the true words that the people said prophetically. God has come to help his people. Lord, may we all reach out to you and receive your help. In Jesus' name. Amen. We close this evening. We're going to sing. It's quite an old hymn. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. Thank you.